Today I'll be reading Luke 8:33-40. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs. Then the herd rushed down the steep bank. They ran into the lake and drowned. Those who were tending the pigs saw what had happened. They ran off and reported it in the town and countryside. The people went out to see what had happened. Then they came to Jesus. They found the man who was now free of the demons. He was sitting at Jesus' feet. He was dressed and thinking clearly. All this made the people afraid. Those who had seen it told the others how the man who had been controlled by demons was now healed. Then all the people who lived in the area of Gennesaret asked Jesus to leave them. They were all filled with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man who was now free of the demons begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away. He said to him, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away. He told people all over town how much Jesus had done for him. When Jesus returned, a crowd welcomed him. They were all expecting him.
Good morning. It's a real joy to be with you folks. I used to come a little more often, but then I brought Grace to where I am. And I do miss you folks. I hear a lot about you through Grace. She has wonderful stories about what wonderful people you are. And every time I come, I find out they're true. They're true. I don't know if you understand why we sang "Just When I Need Him Most," so I'm going to tell you. It was Sabbath evening, about sunset time, and I've forgotten the month, but it was during the hurricane season on the East Coast because I was growing up in New Jersey. And in the house I lived in, there were behind the house, that is to the west, a large willow tree that leaned toward the house. And there were three pine trees, four pine trees, a strong, sturdy pine tree, two pine trees that were spindly and rotten to the core, and then another very strong pine tree. My father was concerned about the spindly pine trees, that they would fall on the house. I wasn't old enough to be concerned. I was probably around 8 years old. And there was a windstorm, hurricane going on, which my folks were very concerned about. And it's sunset worship. And we are singing "Just When I Need Him Most." And there's a loud crash. And there's concern that the pine trees, spindly pine trees, have come down on the house. But they hadn't. It was the strong pine tree that had come down on the porch, which did not hurt the house much at all. And so, "Just When I Need Him Most" has kind of a special place in my heart. It's a story. It's my story. And that's what we're talking about this morning. We read... Hannah read, and I appreciate it. Lynette, your song touched me beautifully. Thank you so much. And Hannah read from Luke 8. Now, let's just think about this man, this demoniac. Using a little of our imagination, but also using inspired writ. He had a home. He had children. And he loved his family. He wanted to be with him. But the demons would take hold of him. And he became maniacal. And his wife was terrorized for the children's sake. And she would call the neighbors. And the villagers would come. And they would bind him with ropes and with chains. and would take him a long distance away. But he broke the chains and he broke the ropes. But they made him stay far away. And so here was this deep longing to be with his family. But he terrorized them. They were frightened. They couldn't have him near. They were afraid of what this maniacal person might do. And so on this particular day, he's among the tombs. And typical. Sea of Galilee has a storm, so what else is new? It frequently, but this was a severe storm, not the usual. This is a much worse storm. And he's watching it. And it reminds him of the storm going on in his own life. This is the story of his life. He wants to be with his family, but he can't because his behavior is so destructive. He watches the storm. It's an angry storm, and he's an angry man. And as he watches, he sees a boat, a little boat out on the horizon, desperately trying not to capsize. He realizes this is the story of his life. He's trying not to capsize. He's trying so hard to live a decent life. And suddenly, the storm stops. Storms don't stop suddenly. Not on the Sea of Galilee, or anywhere else for that matter. They gradually die down. Not this one, it stopped suddenly. And into his mind, as he thought of the storm as a symbol of his life, he thought, is this telling me something? Is this saying that the storm of my life can stop? And a ray of hope emerged. Something happened within that man. He sat there and he began to experience this incredible happening. And he thought, I got to get to that boat. I got to get to that boat. There's something about that boat or whoever's on it. I've got to get there. Now, the demons within him did not want him to get there. And so the chaos in his life became terrible. But he is determined to go. And out of that boat, 13 men step. The lead person is obviously highly respected, not just by the other 12, by the way, but also by the demons. He's called Jesus. He doesn't know anything about Jesus. But the demons respect him. And the demons want him to run away from Jesus because they're terrified of Jesus. And he is not going to go. Jesus comes to the man. He walks up to this person who's been so dangerous, so physically abusive. Jesus walks up to him, and he tells the demons to leave. They don't want to go. And they say, what do we have to do with you, Son of the Lord God Almighty? Don't torment us. I mean, what business do they have to talk about torment? What have they been doing to this poor man? They've been tormenting him. They've sent him out into the tombs. They've made him where he's abusive to his wife and to his children, so he cannot live. And now they're saying, don't torment us, please. I mean, you see what demons are like. You see what demons are like. Don't send us to the abyss. God is really very kind. I mean, if it had been me, I'd have sent him to the bottom of the abyss. You see those swine there? Can we go to the swine? Jesus says, go. Go. Now, the people who tended the pigs, well, they watched, and the pigs, demon-possessed pigs, are no better than demon-possessed people. They go running down the hillside into the Sea of Galilee, and they drown. And the pig keepers, well, they're terrified. So they go to the village as fast as their legs will carry them, and they tell them the story. And the people come out to see what's happened, and they see the floating drowned pigs. And they think of what's happened, not to the man who's in his right mind. They don't care about him. They don't care about the fact that he's properly clothed. That's of no interest to them. They're pigs. They're money. Jesus, you made us lose money. You got that? Jesus says, they tell you, say to Jesus, go. Be gone. We don't want you around. And so he leaves. And the man who's just been healed says, I want to go with you, Lord. I want to go with you, Jesus. Why did he want to go with Jesus? Because it's the only safety he knew. The demons couldn't touch him when he was with Jesus. This is an incredible man who transformed his life. He was demon-possessed. Now he's in his right mind. He wanted to be with Jesus. And what does Jesus say? No. You go home and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you. Did you get that? Tell them the great things the Lord has done for you. Now, he's going back to teach, right? You got that. What does he know about God? What does he know about the Godhead? What does he know about heaven? What does he know about the Trinity? What does he know about the law of God? What does he know about the sanctuary service? What does he know about sin? What does he know about forgiveness? What does he know about the Messiah? What does he know about the role of the Messiah? What does he know about the coming of the Messiah? And he's going to go teach? What was he to teach? What God has done for you. He didn't say, will you please go to the seminary and get a degree and go back and teach. Nothing against seminaries. Don't get me wrong. You are to go back and tell them what God has done for you. That's it. Didn't take special training. Tell your story. Tell your story. Each of you has a story. You have a story from this week. And God wants you to tell your story. That's what we're here to talk about this morning. Tell your story. Very simple story. Very simple story. Find out where I am with my notes first. Let me finish with the man first. He is walking home. Now, you men, you got to listen to me. Women, you don't have to listen. Next. He is so joyous about going home. What does his wife feel about him coming home? Is she going to be happy to see him? No way. No way. She knows the abuse. She is terrified of just the thought of him coming back. He is rejoicing. I'm going to go see my beloved. Do you see the conflict? You see the potential for problem? 180 degrees out of phase. And the child just squeal with delight, Daddy's coming home, Daddy's coming home. And the wife looks at her enough. She says, she doesn't want to disappoint the kids, but. And as she watches him, he's different. There's something. It's not the same. It's not the same. And so as he comes, the neighbors gather around because they know she's going to call for help in a few moments. She doesn't call for help. And they come to see what's going on. And the man's in his right mind. It's amazing. It's amazing. And they begin to ask questions. And he tells them. He tells them what God has done for him. That's all he knows. What God has done for him. Now, the villagers had said to Christ, go, be gone. 6 months later, a year later, Christ comes back to the east side of Galilee. John 10 tells a little bit about it. And a crowd gathers around him to listen to him. What made the difference? What made the difference? The pigs are still dead. They've disintegrated. So don't tell me about the pigs. What made the difference? Why are they interested in listening to Jesus? Because the man shared what God had done for him. That's what made the difference. Okay, let's come back. Let's become a little bit more local here. I'm going to share some of my own experiences quickly here. We have a small group that meets at my house, at our house, on Sabbath mornings at 6:30. And we've been meeting for several years. And we come together, I won't go into how it started, and we basically share our stories for the past week. And these stories end up with things that we celebrate, and some of it, much of the time, is stuff that's painful, that's troubling. And as we share, our friends listen with ears tuned to God. And the Holy Spirit speaks. And as they listen to the story, they begin to hear what God is doing. This is not just a negative story. This is a story where God is active. It's just we don't understand. And so between the friends, what God is doing begins to emerge. And that which seems so disappointing, so painful, becomes an occasion to praise God. Now I'm going to put into that48 years ago, when Grace began to work with me. I was married. I had two children. And our marriage was going rather well. Somewhere around the change of the millennium, around 2000, my wife's memory began to fade. Her ability to respond emotionally essentially disappeared. And over the next decade and a half, she became, the Alzheimer's became overwhelming. And this wonderful lady who had been my wife, I no longer had as a wife. Don't get me wrong. I took care of her. I would spend several hours a day reading to her, holding her hand. She knew I loved her, and I knew she loved me. But there was no relationship between. And about 2 years ago, she died. During this time, I would sit in the car and cry. I was heartbroken. My son lives in Loma Linda, as do I. And he and our daughter said, "Daddy, what's happening to Mother?" And my first response was, "If I tell the truth, am I betraying my wife?" And he said, "I'm not going to carry this burden alone. I can't carry it. It's too big. It's too heavy. It's crushing me." So I told them. I felt better. They prayed with me. Our little group that meets on Sabbath morning, I told them. And they prayed with me, and they prayed for me, and they prayed that I would have the strength and the grace to go on. And I did. I went on day by day. I have some other friends. I have a prayer partner. We meet every week. And I would tell him what's going on, and he would pray for me. It was very strengthening. During this time, with all this prayer, Eleanor did not get better, in spite of the prayer. My burdens did not disappear, in spite of the prayer. What happened was I received the strength to walk with the burdens because I knew I was in the arms of God. Because they had shared their love and their prayers with me. And so I come and I share my story with you. I don't know you. I don't know your stories. I don't know the pain that some of you are carrying. But given a congregation this size, given the number of people with hair the same color as mine, there are other people who have Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia sitting here in front of me. That I know. I just don't know who you are. And all I can tell you is you can't carry the load alone. You can trust God with it. You can trust others, close friends, to join in and to pray with you above it. Share your story. Share your story. All I want you to know, I've shared my story, is that God gave strength day by day. I didn't have strength for tomorrow or next week, but I had strength for that day. What happens if something bad happens when you're all alone? You haven't got anybody to share it with. Let's go back to the beginning. God is loving. God is good. And God is faithful. Let's look at it from that perspective, okay? If God is loving and good and faithful, would you please help me understand what's going on? Well, you've heard this. I've heard it. You may have heard me say it. If that's the case, I have to apologize to you. That was sinful. It was blasphemous. But you've heard it said, "I don't know why God is doing this to me. God isn't doing it to you. Our God is good. He is loving. He is faithful. The bad is not God. The bad is the enemy. He is the one who's doing it. Our strength is in God. Our strength is from God. That's who we turn to." And as we do that and realize that, we begin to see our story emerge. And the number of times our little group on Sabbath morning would point to me and say, "Harvey, your strength comes from God." My strength comes from God. Thank you. And I could go on. Thank you. Excuse me. Because my strength came from God. I can trust Him. I can trust Him. You can trust Him with what's going on. He's not answering my prayers. That's right. Do I have all the answers? Do I know what should happen? Is it possible? Let's just consider, is it vaguely possible? Not a big deal, just vaguely possible that God knows something I don't know? Yeah? Is it possible, just barely possible, that God understands the situation better than I do? If that's the case, then why do I trust Harvey? Isn't that what happened in Eden? Wasn't that the original problem? Eve chose to trust Eve instead of God. Isn't that our problem today? We trust self instead of God. And so our problems grow and get bigger and bigger. Are you with me? Understand what I'm talking about? And so as we can come together, somebody's got a problem. Let's focus on God's love and God's goodness and God's faithfulness. And let's rejoice in that. And as we do that, look at the problem from that perspective, realizing that God's in charge, and where this is going to go, we don't know. But God does. God does. And I don't have to know, because I got good news for you. I'm not in charge. God, that's right, amen. God is in charge. And since God is in charge and God knows where it's going, things are good. And that's what matters. That is what matters. Now, I'm going to ask, I think deacons have cards to pass out. I'm going to ask them to pass them out. And what I'm going to ask you to do in a few moments is to write something on that card. I want to give a card to everybody. Now, this isn't just for those who want to write something. This is for everybody, because I want everybody to write something. You're not going to share it here with me or any. If you want to share it with somebody, that's your privilege, not mine. I'm not going to ask you to share it. I've been talking about relatively big things. The demoniac was healed. I'll tell you a little bit about small things. Small things where God was present. On Thursday of this week, we are going to fly to Medford from Loma Linda. And so we drive to Ontario, California, to catch a plane that flies from Ontario to San Francisco. And then we're going to fly from San Francisco to Medford. It's rather simple, isn't it? No big deal. And so we are there plenty early, not a problem. And we're about to stand up to load the plane when they announce the plane has been delayed. All right, we have a long wait in San Francisco. We don't know what's going to happen. Oh, dear. Well, there's been some lightning in the area, and they have to gas the plane, and they don't gas the plane when there's lightning in the area. Makes sense to me. They don't want the plane destroyed, and I don't want it destroyed either. Okay. And furthermore, there's multiple storms to the north of us, and they can't go through. They won't know until 6 o'clock. This is 3:30. 4 o'clock. They won't know till 6 o'clock whether they're going to fly. So we ask them, what's the next option? Well, there's a plane that leaves at 10:30, I think it was, that would get to San Francisco just shy of 11, just shy of midnight, and that plane had two seats, and there was three of us, so somebody could go stand by, and then getting into Medford would be another problem. Well, they said, you can go in the morning. I've tried that several times. In that morning flight, San Francisco always seems to be fogged in, and so I've never gotten out to go to San Francisco until much later in the day, like close to noon. And about that time, the storms will come up, and they won't be able to fly because of the storms. And here we go, on an endless cycle. And I'm thinking, Lord, please, help us to make it. Well, about 6 o'clock, they tell us, we're going to land, we're going to fly. So we fly to San Francisco. Fortunately, we had a long layover. We got on the plane we were scheduled to be on, and we landed in Medford a minute before we had been scheduled to land. A gift from God? To me, it was. That's the way I see it. And my response was, our response was, thank you, Jesus. Big deal? No. But it was for us. And so as you think about the past week, little deals, that's fine. Now, the seats they had us on, Grace was over here and I'm over here. And somebody noticed that. And he talked to the person who was with me, where I was, and they sat together. And so Grace and I could sit together. Is that a big deal? What it is to me. I like to sit next to Grace. I really enjoy being her husband. Just want you to be sure of that. She is a great wife. Just a marvelous wife. I am so blessed. But God did that. You see? Something little. But it's something God did. And our lives are blessed knowing that God did that for us. Why did he do it for us? Because he loves us. And so I want to encourage you, think of the things that happened in the past week. I won't go back 20 years. In the past week. You see, where I'm wanting to go and what I'm wanting to say, oh dear, is, as you think of good, positive things, they will increase your health as you thank God and are grateful. They will increase your happiness. They will give you things to share with others and help them to know God in a more personal way. And so, I want to use a simple illustration. People have been talking about Harvey this week. That's not me, by the way. I just want you to be aware of that. I had nothing to do with it. But they seem to enjoy sharing the stories. A couple of weeks ago, we were at a friend's house for Sabbath dinner, and Grace asked the hostess about the rolls. They were very good. She said, would you like the recipe? Yes. Shared the recipe. Oh, what's happened? We're just sharing stories. We're just sharing recipes. That's all. We're talking about sharing the story of what God has done for you. That's all. And when people are having trouble trusting God, you're just sharing your story. You're not coming up with proof texts and banging them over the head. You know, God didn't ask you to tell other people what they should do. That's not your job. There were people who did it at the time of Christ. They're called Pharisees. We're not asked to be Pharisees. Sadducees had another problem. We're asked to simply share what God has done for us. That's all. Tell our story. Share the recipe of what God is doing in our life. And as people hear this, their lives will be touched. They will be changed. Their lives will be transformed into the image of God.
Closing song is 559. Now thank we all our God. One is to sing it sort of in a soft tone. It's just sort of a prayer. So let's sing it like we're praying to God, but audibly. Shall we stand, please?
Now thank we God with heart and hands and voices, whose wondrous things have done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms hath blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still ours today. Oh, may this bounteous God through all our life be near us with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the all praise and thanks to God, the Father, now be given. The Son and Him who reigns with them in highest heaven. The one eternal adore, for thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore.
Our loving Father, you have reached into our hearts, into our lives, and guided us with love into goodness and with your faithfulness. Thank you. We want to share the stories. We want to be aware of the stories and live in a state of gratitude and praise. In Jesus' name.